Wong and Abner. See what's going on down in Pine Ridge. Well, last night, Lum launched his whirlwind courtship of Miss Emmeline with a buffet supper. No prospect bright for the affair when we left the old fellows yesterday. In following plans to cut down the size of the guest list to match the number of buffets, Abner had the task of suggesting to Miss Emmeline that she not attend. When Lum discovered this, he was furious and hurried to the schoolhouse to patch things up. Also, Cedric got mixed up and varnished the dinner plates instead of garnishing them. As we look in on the little community today, we find Lum and Abner in their Jot'em'Down store reviewing the party. Listen.
Yeah, well, I know one thing. As far as I'm concerned, buffet supper was a success. I don't believe I've ever saw Miss Emmeline look prettier in all her life.
Yeah, well, she looked fancy all right. Ain't no doubt about that. Hair all frizzed up, all rosy, all covered with that artificial coloring and flavor.
Yeah, you know she wore that little corset of flowers I got for her, too.
Yeah, I noticed that. Was them lilies?
No, them are geraniums.
Oh.
And the good part about it is that they wasn't just plain, ordinary flowers you can go out in the yard and cut. These were genuine artificial ones.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, you take them flowers you grow, you wear them once, and bang, they're gone. But these artificial kind, you can wear them for years.
Well, I do know. Well, I bound you they're awful expensive, though, ain't they, Lum?
No, that's the junior part about it. They don't cost half as much as them you owe.
Hmm. Doggies, I might just get Elizabeth a handful of them the next time her birthday comes around. Buy them once, and then you're all done buying flowers. Don't have to worry about that no more. Just forget it.
Yeah, it'd be a good thing to do.
Oh, yeah. Her birthday comes around again. Tell her to drag them out and put them on.
Get them out of the mothballs. Make a big hit with her.
Yeah, yeah.
I know Miss Emmeline sure liked them I give her. She told me so.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Great. She's a wonderful woman, you know what I mean? The more I see her, the more in love I get.
Say, Lum, tell me, I never got a chance to ask the party there last night. She was so busy. Did you have much trouble talking Miss Emmeline into coming party?
Well, at first I did. She was bound and determined that she weren't going to do it.
Well?
Yeah, see, she believed what you told her about the board members thinking she oughtn't to be going out on school night.
Yeah, I told her that, Lum, because I just couldn't bring myself to come right out flat-footed and tell her that we had to uninvite somebody because there was one too many coming and that her name was the one that we drawed.
Well, I did.
Huh?
I did. I told her the whole thing.
You did?
Just exactly how it happened. I heard that you'd made a terrible mistake and wasn't ever supposed to call her at all.
Well, now, just a minute now.
Well, that's one thing I've discovered about that woman. The best way to get along with her is to just tell her the truth.
The truth, huh?
Plain truth.
Hmm.
As soon as I told her that, she just laughed and laughed. Thought it was an awful good joke.
Yeah.
I tell you, there's a wonderful woman, Amber.
Well, if she done that, she is a wonderful woman.
Oh, she is. Ain't no doubt about it. Yeah, I couldn't have picked out a better woman for the future if I'd have tried a lifetime.
Future Miss Edwards? You never pre-posed her, did you, Lum?
No, but after two or three more of these high-class society parties, I'm going to.
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to do the trick. I know it will.
Huh.
I got buffet supper last night, impressed or something once.
You could, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Well.
Yeah, I'll never forget the look on her face when she stepped inside the door and seen that parlor all full of buffets.
Oh, man. Now, say, that reminds me. Now, what was it she busted out laughing for when she come in the door there?
Of course, she was happy, I reckon.
Oh.
Of course, she was having such a good time.
Well, I wondered. I thought maybe you said something funny to her.
No, I said to her, I bound you, you've never been to a buffet supper like this before. And she said, no, she hadn't. She doubted if anybody else had, neither.
Well?
She was right there. She knowed it was a high class. Wasn't it ever?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Of course, I don't know about the classy part, but it was the highest one I was ever at. I know that. Everybody setting up there on them high stools to the buffets.
Yeah, well...
You know, I hate to say this, Lon, but everybody just looks sort of silly to me setting up there that way.
Well, they just look that way to you, Abner, because you ain't used to mingling with the smart set yet.
Oh.
A few more parties and you'll get used to people looking silly.
Yeah, maybe so. I believe everybody felt a little silly, too. Well, for one thing, it's hard to eat off of them buffets. Couldn't get up close enough to them. Your knees kept getting in the way.
Yeah, I noticed that, but that might be another thing you just have to get used to when you belong to the smart set.
Cut some holes in them buffets for your knees to get in.
It might be good culture to set a long ways from your vittles anyway.
Well, it's all right, I reckon, if you got arms long enough. But you take a feller like me who's got little short arms, he's just liable to sit at a table and starve from to death.
Oh, no, you wouldn't starve.
Well, feller might, you can't tell on. I'm going to learn to eat backwards, I know that. Reach around behind my back and get stuff. And a feller ought to have two napkins, too. A regular one, of course, to stuff in your shirt collar, and an extra one to lay in your lap. You're going to have to carry the vittles so far in your hand.
Yeah, well, say, speaking of eating, did you notice anything peculiar about your vittles last night?
What? Peculiar?
Yeah, more than likely just my imagination, but seemed to me that both the fried rabbit and the hot cakes tasted like paint or varnish or something like that.
They did?
Yeah, for a minute I thought maybe I'd put varnish in the syrup pitcher by mistake. But I tasted it and saw that that weren't it. Just my imagination, I reckon.
Yeah, that must have been about what it was, I think.
Of course, I noticed nobody there ate much of their food. I thought at first that it was just because folks was a little embarrassed over being at such a high-class party, but when I seen folks like Ulysses S. Quincy and Charlie Redfield not eating, I knowed there was something else wrong.
Well, I reckon I might as well tell you, Lon. It was Cedric's fault.
Cedric's fault?
Yeah.
What's he got to do with it?
Well, you know, when you telephoned over to your place yesterday and told him to garnish the plates with a stalk of celery.
Yeah.
Well, he made a little mistake there. He thought you said varnish instead of garnish.
Varnish?
So he varnished every single plate over at your place.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, of course, when I found out about it, well, I just went right straight and got a jug of pulver and, me and him just done the best we could on them plates.
Oh, for pity's sakes. I'm social learned. What must folks think of me?
Well, more likely, they'll just think that you're a poor cook, Lon. And most of them know that anyway, I reckon.
Oh, me, we've got to have our next party awful fast. Make them forget that.
But we? I ain't giving these parties, you are.
Oh, that's right. I guess I forgot to tell you, but you're giving the next one over at your place.
Well, if...
It's going to be a surprise party for me and Miss Emily.
Yes, huh?
Yeah.
Well, that's a surprise to me, all right. And it's going to be a bigger surprise to Elizabeth. And a still bigger one if we ever give it, I'll tell you that right now.
Well, you've got to do it. I got it practical all planned out already. And I ain't supposed to know nothing about it even.
Well, how'll you know when to come to it then?
Oh, you get me over there some way. Trick me into it.
I will, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
And following that, it's going to be my coming out party.
Coming out party? What's the matter? Is it too hot inside for you?
Oh, no.
You better stay inside, Lon. You're going to catch your death of pneumonia running around out in the yard this kind of weather.
Abner, that just means coming out into society.
Well, get the society inside then.
Every high-class debutante has one of them kind of parties sooner or later.
Well, I believe later'd be better, Lon. Long about summertime. And it'll be warm enough so it don't matter whether you come or go in or what you do.
And then I think my next one will be my big engagement party. That's the night I give Miss Emmeline a great big diamond engagement ring.
Romy, have you got her a big diamond ring?
No, I haven't, and I got to start figuring out where to get a good one, too.
It's
going to be a big, expensive one, that.
Well, where are you going to get the money to buy something like that, Long?
From royalties on the book Mr. Chancellor's writing about us.
Well, according to him, we don't start getting them royalties till after the book's all wrote and they start selling them.
Yeah, but last night at the party, Mr. Chancellor told me he had the book more than half done already. Said he's going to send off a few chapters to the publisher today, so it oughtn't to be long before their royalties start rolling in.
Doggy, that's good news. I'm going to keep the door wide open so they can roll in easier. Uh-oh, wait a minute. There's something else rolling in the door, too.
Oh, Squire Skin, yeah. Well, howdy, Squire.
Well, howdy, gentlemen. Howdy. Are you in there?
Oh, howdy. Pretty good, Squire, I reckon.
What can we do for you, Squire?
Nothing. Not a thing, Lum. I just dropped in to tell you that I'm including a write-up of your social function last night in my weekly items to the county paper.
Oh, well, good for you. That's mighty thought of you, Squire. Did you put Miss Emmeline down as the host of honor?
Yeah, well, no, I said she was the guest of honor, Lum.
Oh, well, you better change it then. She's more than that. She was the host of honor.
Yes, well, if you insist. Mainly, Lum, I just wanted to check the menu and see if I have it right. Let's see now. Well, here's what I have down here, right here. A light luncheon served in unique buffet style, consisting of cold fried rabbit, hot cakes and sorghum, buttermilk and cookies were enjoyed at a late hour.
Well, I think the less you say about the vittles, the better, Squire.
By the way, Lum, Mrs. Kemp wanted me to ask you what you use for flavoring.
Oh, I don't know. Some high-class society stuff.
Well, it's a fine party. I enjoyed myself, Lum. Talked for a while there that you might be planning to announce your engagement, too.
Well, just twixt me and you, Squire, don't be too surprised if that does happen one fine day soon. About the only thing holding me up now is finding the right engagement ring.
You're in the market for a diamond, you mean, Lum?
Yeah, I'm going to buy the biggest one I can find. I don't care what it costs. Price is no object.
Lum, do you know much about diamonds?
Oh, yeah, I know a big one when I see it. I can tell by the size.
Yes, well, that's fine. You know, I was just thinking, Lum, it's just possible I might be able to find you one. Yes, sir, it's just possible now I might...
Join us again at the same time for another visit with Lum and Abner down in Pine Ridge. Meanwhile, good night and good health to you all. Gene Baker speaking. This is the Blue Network.